and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. It's episode 382 for those keeping count, and I'm Adam Cook. I'm your host this week and every week, but it wouldn't be much of a podcast, if I was... That's the hangover from last week when we were doing accents. Go back and listen to last week. It wouldn't be much of a podcast if I was on my own. But maybe I should be sometimes, because like most people would edit that out or start again. It's not happening, and the person you heard laughing there... normally brings up the rear, but today he's bringing up the front, and it's Adam Carroll.
Delighted to be on this podcast.
Great. I mean, that's gonna be forgotten instantly. No one's gonna bring that up ever again, right?
Never.
A podcast. Adam, you're right.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Because you're much better now. You've got someone to mock and belittle on live. In the past,
of course, any opportunity to just destroy you like this is just perfect.
I'm not a difficult target, am I, Christopher White?
No, Adam. I'm just a bit unprofessional, to be honest. I'm fine, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here. I'm looking forward to talk about video games.
Is that what we do now? Or we just talk about video games?
Yeah, video games. Some mild banter with the questions, and everything else should be left for the other podcast.
Hang on, we'll come back to that. Let's not leave Gary Bailey out in the cold for much longer. How are you, Gaz?
I'm good. I've just got back from watching Birds of Prey, so I'm in a decent mood.
Well, maybe we can get to that in a bit then. That's not a bad...
Gaz,
Chris used a word, and I want your opinion on it. He used the word banter.
Well, is it not banter?
It can be banter, but... Are we okay with...
I'm fine with it. It's a lad term. It's a very lad term. But it's used a lot these days. I think we qualify.
What the fuck is wrong with banter?
I'm just trying to deflect from podcast or whatever.
No, you cannot try and turn this on Chris.
Howdy, motherfuckers. Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast.
Yahoo!
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Bants. Have it.
Lads on
get
tour.
Get some game show. Lads. Footy. Woo.
I love football.
Let's not have a go at football.
I'm not. I love the beautiful game. All right, but let's do some gaming.
Okay. Well, if we must, let's talk about video games. Gaz, you and I have been playing a game. Obviously, it's a gaming podcast, but playing a game that sort of. I think it's been quite a slow start to the year. There has been a lot of games, but no sort of tentpole, you know, massive games. And this one isn't one either, is it, Gaz? Kunai, talk to us.
I think it should be, but it isn't. I didn't really know about it until you showed it to me initially. And even then,
King of the Indies gets no respect as usual. Well, on here I am, but...
But it was just like, that looks cool.
The Indies.
But it's so much fun to play. The kunai just swinging about at them, it's great. It's the equivalent of like the Spider-Man web swinging, you know, it's the same sort of idea, but I would say it's almost as fun as PS4 Spider-Man in the way the swinging mechanics work and just how simple it is, how easy it is to climb up shit and I love that game.
do you know the thing that mostly impressed me is like when you get the kunai very quickly and you can start swinging around, you know, the grappling hooks. Kunai are normally like throwing weapons in games, but these have got ropes on them. They're grappling hook with the triggers, left and right trigger, and each one is like there's your left and your right kunai, so you can do all sorts of traversal. But what a lot of these games don't get right. Because let's not pretend they're not a dime a dozen. Like the Metroidvanias have become popular.
Yeah.
Retro sort of aesthetic platformers have become very popular and always have been popular. But what a lot of them get wrong is the responsiveness, the feel, the actual feel, the thing that's really difficult to describe in podcast form or even show in a video. The snappiness when you jump or when you throw the kunai out.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this game more than most of them like it, because. It's super responsive. Like the jump feels like bang jump, you know.
Yeah.
It is very responsive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of similar to stuff like Gunstar Hero, isn't it? You know, where it's like it's just like everything is instant and fluid. And it's like when you do like your jump and you know you throw out the kunai to get a swing going, there's something behind the scenes there that makes sure that you always hit the mark, or at least almost always hit it. And
yeah,
it's great. You know, it helps feel that more fluid, and especially when you're in the middle of a boss fight or something when you need it to be responsive, it is. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why the boss fights are so good in it as well. I mean, some of them are a real bitch, but they are fun. Even when you're getting battered, it's still, you always feel like you're getting somewhere. It's a bit like Souls, you know, like the Souls games, when you have like a good boss fight and you know you lost that fight because you made the mistake and it just, you know, it went that way. And it's usually the way with this as well. If you made a mistake, it will punish you for it. But unlike the Souls games or most of the other games this style now, you're not losing all your XP when you die. And I think they got that right. The checkpoint system's a bit...
We talked about this during the review process. Like, I still don't... I mean, you've obviously finished it and I'm just sort of 2-ish hours in, 2.5, 3 hours in. Yeah. I don't quite understand the checkpoint system. It was almost as though they were like, well, it's a Metroidvania, so there has to be like a room you find that you can save in, but there's no point to it.
No,
really. You may as well just be able to press start and save.
Yeah, the thing that makes no sense, like there was a bit fairly early on, you're in like a flying fortress.
Yes. And that's the same place for me actually.
Yeah, and it's basically if you fall off this bit, you die, you'll respawn. Now, the first time I did that, because I was at full health, I didn't hit the save point on the way past. So I was like, oh, it's cool, you know. So it sent me back to kind of the other end of the level. And it's like, for fuck's sake. You know, it's like, why didn't it? And yet there was another one, I think, later on, where I died. And it just goes, all right, you're back at the beginning of that room. So it's like, I don't understand.
That section worked the other way for me. Like, I flicked a switch inside that airship, and then I died. And then I go back to the save point, but it's like, oh, wow, I got to do all that again. And then I went back to the switch. It's like, oh, no, I didn't. The switch just remained active. So it is just a...
Yeah, it may be. I mean,
it's almost
like
a Bioshock chamber when you die and you respawn, but nothing's... You've not lost anything. I mean, I'd rather that than it was...
It's not a bad part of the design or anything like that. It's just a weird choice.
It's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it just... Didn't really make sense, but thankfully,
I will say
it didn't,
that the boss in that airship I particularly liked, because I wasn't sure if they were going to go that way with the humour. I'm not going to spoil it, but that did make me chuckle that bit.
Yeah. I think the fact that I laughed there shows that it is funny.
You know exactly
the way
what
they've
I'm
done.
About.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of that in the game as well. Little nods. I mean, there was one. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there's one later which basically mimics Star Wars, but kind of changes it to fit the kunai world, right. And it just raised a smile because it was just so well written. But
speaking of the kunai world, it's worth saying that you're playing a little guy who's basically got a iPad for a head.
Yep, and it's it's the fact that I think I said it right at the beginning of the review. It's like he bashes out the tank. And it's in the video review as well, and the first thing you see is this big massive grin on his face. And it's just, you're instantly like, I like you. I like you. I'm sticking with you. And he's great. And when you unlock hats, and some of them are adorable. Some of them are daft, like really daft, but some of them are adorable. One of them were little like ears, like dog ears. I kept them on for a while because I'm just like, you just look brilliant. You know,
Also worth mentioning, you have a katana as a weapon that can deflect bullets.
Yep, deflect bullets, and it gets your health back as well when you use it, which, I mean, that's a good, because there's no health regen or anything like that in this game, you know, or med packs. Yeah. So if you're in the middle of a boss fight or just a tough fight, landing some hits with the katana is how you at least stave off death a little bit longer. But, I mean, I thought the balance was quite well done all the way through. There was one boss which was a bit of a pain, and the last boss, which you'd kind of expect, is quite tough. But beyond that, all of like the whole game, I didn't have that many issues with. So it's a lot of that is down to just how well it plays, how easy it is to control.
I find it hard to think anyone who tried it wouldn't just be smiling and enjoying it. It's definitely a Chris game. It's definitely an Adam Carroll game.
Oh, really?
K-U-N-A-I, by the way. Kunai. K-Y-Q-N-I. Watch the video review. Go to youtube.com/godasageek and watch the video review and see Gary's words in... Actually, my voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you will see the game in action. Although, again, it is a difficult thing to, because it feels great. Gaz, have you been playing anything else at all?
I've played a little bit of Zombie Army 4, which...
Dead War.
I forgot that bit. I should have put on my movie voice, you know, just like, Dead War. You know?
Sick.
It's, what a title. I mean, it reminds me well of World War Z. It's very much the same vein. I mean, I've never played it.
But why is everyone going so batshit over it? Like, I'm actually...
Are they?
I'm seeing a lot of people talk about this. I've had two people message me alone saying, have you played Zombie Army 4? Is it any good? And I'm like, why the fuck is everyone... Why are you reaching out to me for this?
Because there's not... I mean, it's probably the biggest game.
Yeah, it's like the big release so far.
Would be the biggest game this year, I think, really.
Zombie Army 4 is one of the biggest games this year.
It's the guys that make Sniper Elite, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Rebellion, isn't it?
Yeah, so that, I think that's it as well. Like, a lot of people, because it's got the same like slow motion, you know, bullet cam thing and that in it.
Okay.
So I think there's a big following for the Sniper Elite games, and I think if I remember right, didn't the Zombie Army trilogy do quite well when that got re-released on PS4 and Xbox?
I mean, as you say, there is a sort of vociferous fan following of that.
Yeah, I think that's genre. I mean, it's a good game. Like, I've not played a lot of it, but what I have played, I'm like, I can see why people like this.
Yeah,
because it's very much like World War Z, which also did quite well.
Good time for it to come out as well. Like, it is quiet for big games.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that'll do well because people go, ooh. I've got nothing to play, a zombie shooter sort of thing. Why not? You know, give it a try. It's a little bit cheaper than full price as well. I think it's sort of 35, 40 quid rather than like the full 50. So that's a decent idea.
Think you will continue to play it? Like, because are you playing solo or co-op?
Solo.
Do you think you will keep playing this, or is this something? It's like, yeah, this is all right, but you're gonna sort of drift back to.
Yeah, I've already sort of gone now. Yeah. I've had my fill. Again, it's one of those ones that I'm like, I understand and appreciate why people like it. It's just, I know I won't play it anymore. I suspect if it was played co-op, you know, might have more appeal, but it's repetitive. You know, I've only played like 2 hours or something like that of it, and already it's like, okay, I'm basically doing the same thing over and over.
Can you shoot Hitler in the knackers?
I've not met Hitler. I mean, but I don't even know if Hitler's in this. But if he's in it, I would have thought
so. He must be a zombie Nazi Reich zombies, surely.
Well, I mean,
can you hit Goebbels in his gonads?
I thought you were going to say Goebbels in the gerbils.
or the Jacobs.
Yeah, that might have worked too. Goebbels in the Jacobs. It doesn't scan quite as...
No, it doesn't sound as flowing as the gerbils. I've never used gerbils
But
before,
I don't so. Think... No, I haven't, but I don't see any reason why we can't start.
Oh, fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah. But I also just want to point out there, before anyone sends a correction in via email to podcast@godisageek.com, that I do realise I said shoot Hitler in the knackers, plural there, and I just want to retract that statement and say, of course, I'm well aware of...
Yeah.
I'm well aware of the song.
Got one,
I'm well aware of the song, and thus the historical evidence that he only had a singular knacker. please, Gaz, continue.
How do you follow that?
Are we allowed to call the episode Hitler's Knacker?
I'm not going to put Hitler in the title of the podcast.
Yeah, I think putting a Hitler in the title is automatically just like, no.
No.
It's good. I can't see myself playing anymore. It seems a bit... it seems like the game that would be quite tongue-in-cheek, but it seems a bit too serious.
I mean, if you've got enough problem with his knackers, let's not worry about his cheeks. Christ. I was going to say it's the olive situation all over again, but that's a Patreon only $5 exclusive podcast, so it won't work.
I think we just missed that there. Like, I got a fierce chuckle out of guys just saying the two sentences together, going, "It's good. I'm just not going to play it anymore." And that's just
yeah, yeah.
Box quote.
That's really that's like video
it's good.
Games.
I'm not going to play
it
anymore.
That's video games. That's just it. Yeah, I've got this to play, and I haven't had time. But I'll be honest with you, I'm just waiting. I don't know if it's just me. I feel like I'm just sort of, you know.
Yeah, it's
ready
pretty
to
much
pounce, you know.
Yeah, we're at that point basically where we're just waiting for Doom, Animal Crossing, Resident Evil.
I'll be honest,
know,
I'm kind
of
the next thing for me is the Fire Emblem DLC. Like, I'm really into that. I don't think that's going to
that
like blow
out?
Me away. That's this month sometime, I think.
Is that the one with the added house?
The extra house, yeah.
That brings in the fourth house to three houses,
yeah,
but completely destroys the name.
Yeah, you don't need. Yeah, never thought of that. You don't need to have like a save file either. It is a separate thing from the main menu, so that's kind of nice if people haven't played through all three of the 80 hour campaign. It wasn't actually 80 hours. There's a good 130 hours if you want to play every campaign. It's a great game.
Yeah,
great game. Gaz, anything else, or should we see what Chris has been up to?
I mean, I've briefly played the demo of that Daymare,
yeah,
which interesting. I'd like to see more.
It looks like Resident Evil, but not
yeah. Resident Evil with just a smaller
modern
team.
Resident Evil, sorry, I should say
yeah.
modern.
Yeah, I mean,
it looks like Resident Evil 2.
It does, very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, one thing to keep an eye on, I think, in the future. But beyond that, no, not really.
No, I mean, we're going to take a look at that on PC, but that's coming to console in April, Daymare. Which, but just for the record, bad name. Bad name.
Yeah, what was it? It's Daymare 1998, which kind of,
that's
I
worse.
Think, makes it even
worse. That's
worse.
If I mean, just called it Daymare, it's borderline, but yeah, that's worse.
Daymare like nightmare, but Daymare.
Yep, that's exactly
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That is like a nightmare
name.
That happens during the day.
Yep.
By the way,
Jesus.
Just to add, all the footage I've seen of this game is set at night, so
yep.
Why not just call it Nightmare?
Well, maybe that's the twist. Maybe you find out when you play.
Well, Gaz, I mean, you'll have to come back now, because
yeah.
I want to know what a Daymare is.
I do wonder if they ever explain it, because at least like Resident Evil or Biohazard, it makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the
well,
first game
Resident
was set in a mansion.
Evil.
It was Evil was the resident, and Biohazard
Resident
is,
Evil makes like, less sense yeah. as the series went on.
Oh God, yeah,
Biohazard was. I always preferred it. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I prefer. Biohazard's always been a better name.
Yeah,
or has it? I don't
no.
know. Oh, all right, fair enough.
I mean,
then.
It's the Dad. One that makes more sense.
Yeah, but I like Resident Evil. It just. that's just way cooler.
It wouldn't sound as good as well in the title screen.
It does. Just... I've played Japanese versions of those
no,
games.
No.
It does.
Right.
It does sound.
All right.
Sorry, if Adam's going to be added scope. No, you're wrong. Then I'm doing it there as well. Sorry. Chris, what on earth have you been playing? I asked as if I didn't already know.
What have I been playing? Well, what have I been playing, Adam? I've been.
That's
playing...
a harder question.
Been playing quite a bit actually.
Okay.
So just before we go into what I recently reviewed, I'm currently playing a game called Dawn of Fear, which is a game by a Spanish team through like a PlayStation initiative for indie developers, and it is essentially Resident Evil,
I saw this. I watched the trailer for this the other night.
Yeah. So. I mean,
is it Resident Evil 2 modern or Resident Evil 2? I just said
well,
Resident Evil
it's,
now. Christ almighty.
It's
Would you like to talk about Resident Evil on my podcast?
Well, it's
Which
more,
one is it?
It's more Resident Evil, the first, because it's kind of what I've played, it's kind of set in a house, a big house. Not quite a mansion, yeah. I don't think. But it's basically that. And the. There's a lot of bugs. It's kind of it's a bit awkward and it's like the it's not got tank controls, but when you used to play Resi when it moved from screen to screen, it's got that thing where if you press up to kind of run and then you enter a new screen, you go back into the old one because the controls are all messed up sometimes.
Oh,
if you get me,
no.
but it does that a lot. So
oh, no.
it's a bit of a shame. And then there are a few bugs in that. I mean, it's all right. but from what I've played, it's not great.
Yeah, but, it looks like a pile of wonky arse, if I'm honest.
it's a nice concept. However, there's more fun in the Resident Evil game that has been created in Dreams, which we will get to shortly because I've been playing that and I know you have. But Patapon 2. Patapon. Now, this game is fucking mad.
That's exactly what I heard in my head. As soon as you said Patapon, that is what I heard in my head. I heard the song.
Mad. Like that game is all kinds of ridiculous in the best possible way. Like, it's just... it's very... If you've never heard of this game, it's kind of tricky to explain, but it's a rhythm game, but also like a kind of an RPG with a skill tree where you have to head back to a place called Earthend, and to do so you have to gather amass an army of Patapons, all with different skills, and you can collect new weapons to arm your army with. You collect I forgot what the word is, but you can basically use this kind of XP to level them up. And you do so by going into different missions. So there'll be a mission where you can collect weapons. There'll be a mission where you can unlock a new skill or fight a boss. And you can go back into missions to grind a little bit. But there's not like a lot of grinding. But the levels themselves are rhythm games. You learn certain drum beats. You start off with a very simple one, which is called Patapon, and that allows you to move. So it's a very simple 4-beat rhythm. It's like square, square, circle, square. And then you'll learn to attack, which is a slightly different move. So you'll use that to take out enemies or to break through barriers or to fight bosses. You'll learn to retreat as well. So you can, like, there's times where you're in a lot of melee combat and maybe the enemy is too close, so all your guys with spears or bow and arrows aren't reaching, they're kind of flying over, so you can move back to kind of take them away. There's defense, like a block, you can block your enemy's shot, enemy's attacks and stuff like that. But the songs themselves are highly addictive, very noisy. They're just a lot of fun to play as well. And there's not a lot of like controls, but you get to work the rhythms in to each other very well. So you're kind of creating these songs through the different drum beats, but also helping you to progress through the levels. And it's just quite addictive. And there are other kind of commands that you learn that unlock different, without ruining it, things that will help you progress past certain bosses. They're called miracles, and you learn these miracles through the game, and you unlock more as you go on. But it's just got a very nice kind of a pattern to the gameplay, a nice kind of flow to it. And like the at the start, when you don't, because you can also build your army up, so you've got different units within, so you can change where they go. So for example, what Patapon 2 does is gives you a hero, which is like a singular unit, which is kind of like your main kind of character, like your Jon Snow. And then you've got your army of like melee attackers who carry like swords, knives, axes, shields. You've got an army of archers. You can get an army of like people on horse. There's a lot of stuff that you can kind of do, and you can rearrange those before you go into the levels to see who attacks from where. You can equip certain things to your army, which gives them new skills. And as I said earlier, you can change the weapons, you can upgrade the actual Patapon. So there's ones that can resist fire or ice attacks or water attacks. There's just quite a lot to it for saying it's just a rhythm game, but it's also like an RPG, and it's a hell of a lot of fun, and absolutely bonkers.
The thing that sort of, I don't want to say ruined it for me, but put me off playing more. So I had the same problem with when they did Parappa the Rapper again.
Yes, and I know what you're going to say, I think.
Input lag.
Yep.
Like, I was capturing for this, and I couldn't get the tutorial to work, and I was playing it through a, well, there's like a through an Elgato, I think it was. So there was like a very minuscule delay because they're quite good now.
Yeah.
And in the end, I had to rewire my whole system so it was going straight into a TV. And then I realised, oh, it isn't my system, it's the game.
Yeah, no, there is.
And you have to sort of adjust yourself to be almost latency built in, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Parappa the Rapper, that was really bad.
Like, it was the car level.
Yes.
That showed up.
The kind of input lag in that was far worse. And don't get me wrong, it isn't as good as it should be, and it needs to be. But you can adapt after a few levels and kind of get used to it. Even though you still hear it, it kind of works in the end. But there are moments where, you know, you're trying to command your army and trying to take on like the littler like throwaway enemies against like one of the bigger enemies or one of the bosses. So you're kind of dealing with a lot of blocking and firing and movement. And sometimes you'll miss an input and it'll stop you from doing that one action. And you kind of lose your rhythm.
Why isn't there just a simple calibration thing? Like that they just, you know, I mean, Rock Band and Guitar Hero did this.
Mm.
You know, you have to calibrate a system because everyone's system is wired different. Like, you know, Person A's going through a 5.1 surround sound system. Person B's got 7.1, but they've got wireless speakers. Person 3 is Bluetoothing. Person 4 is wearing a headset. Person 5 has got a sound bar. Like, these are all systems that have their, you know,
I get you,
or no latency. So it's really weird that a rhythm game, because it is a rhythm game. You know, like you said, absolutely, there is a lot more than that, but its core is a rhythm game.
Yeah, when you're playing those levels, it's a rhythm game. It's nothing more. Like, it's all in the menus and stuff. You're doing everything else. You're solely playing through the levels. It's a rhythm game. Mm. Like, that's the whole way you finish that level, is by entering inputs in sequence to progress. So you kind of need that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that it gets harder as it goes on. There are times when there's a lot happening, and you're trying to manage all these different inputs, and the input lag kind of affects it. Because if you mispress a button, or you don't do it in time, or you miss the beat, then it completely cancels it out, and you're waiting for your army to move, and they're just stood there, or you're waiting to fire, and you're getting battered by someone, and you're not firing anything or attacking, and it does let it down. I mean, if that was spot on, then it would have been a pretty decent port, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of let it down a bit.
Have you been playing anything else apart from that?
Yeah, so I just want to mention quickly, I've been playing Battlefronts. Well, I've been playing it since Christmas. But the reason I'm playing it more over the last couple of days is they've added a brand new update, which has included new levels to their Supremacy mode. So Capital Supremacy is the 20v20 checkpoint. You collect checkpoints, and then once you collect so many checkpoints, you get taken up to a Star Destroyer in the sky, and then you have to complete little missions there. That it was solely the Clone Wars era and like the prequels era, and you could only use like your, you know, Adam, Count Dooku, you know who he is, don't you? And General Grievous, all those kind of guys.
Yeah.
So now they've added that was called Age of the Republic. They've now added Age of the Resistance to that mode, which has brought like the Starkiller base from the new trilogy, and it allows you to play as all like the Kylo Rens and the Finns and that on all the newer maps, so that you're playing these big war zones through the new trilogy, which is amazing. And they've also added little BB-8 to Proceedings and his evil BBE
version.
BB-7E or something like that.
And
BBC. But like, they're obviously they don't really work the same way as your kind of Jedi's or your Sith do, or like your General Grievous. They kind of act more as a support, and they've factored them in really well, so they're great to help. Like, they're like your medics. They're that kind of, they don't really attack, they're more your backup. So yeah, I've been playing that, but I've been playing quite a bit of over the last few days is Dreams. And I haven't played this since we got it on early access right at the start, And I just have to say, like, this game is something else. Like, I'm so impressed by this game at the minute. In terms of what there is
By the time this podcast is live to everyone, I think the single player is getting patched in for early access people.
Yes.
So
just in terms of, like, some of the games themselves within this game are nuts. Like, people have created completely original games, ranging from, like, horror games to platformers to bowling and stuff like that. Go on.
I want to play Devil's Advocate a little, right? Because, again, there'll be a video up of me playing through random stuff. And if you enjoy that video, again, subscribe to our YouTube channel, but also send us at God is a Geek. If you're not going to be able to get a hold of Dreams, or you just want to see stuff, tell us what you want us to put in the search engine and I'll do it and I'll make another part two of that video. But the thing, I don't want to be negative Nelly, right? But every time I play the platformer, what concerns me is that, so Little Big Planet, right? Adam Carroll, Little Big Planet, Gary, Little Big Planet, you know this game. I'm sure you have both played one of those Little Big Planet games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great games, fun, lovely, colourful games, full of personality that, you know, in another lifetime, Nintendo made those games. They're that kind of charm. But the actual jumping in those games, right?
Well, it's always weird.
It's not bad. Neither is it good.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was...
No, it's not as responsive as, like, a kunai or a Mario. When you're playing a platformer, you are wanting it to feel like Mario. If it's 2D, you are wanting it to feel... I think most platform games, full stop, the jump is something you want it to feel like Mario, right? The one thing that worries me in Dreams, maybe this is where Chris can come back, perhaps. I am with Chris in that it is astonishing. Like, what... Because it's not just what people are doing. The whole thing of Dreams is it's a collaborative process. So I can be building my game, and in my game, I'm making a horror game, and I build this gun that does this thing that I think's amazing. Chris can download that, if I allow it, and use that gun in his completely different game. Like, I can create an enemy that I pull in from someone else's game and then someone else uses it. Music is collaborative. Voice acting, it's all remixable, if you will. In fact, I think they call it... You can do remixes, can't you?
Yeah.
But I have yet to find... Once you get past the fact that someone's remade Mario, someone's done Dead Space, someone's remade... Actually, there's a really good Geometry Wars version in there, which made me really want Geometry Wars on Switch for some bizarre reason. Geometry Wars is fantastic, and its sequel, and even the third one's pretty good. But once you get past the kind of thing that... Like what happened with Little Big Planet, where people remade Mario, where people made... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you get past that, and you start to delve into the games that are original... What I found is that, I mean, again, early access, it's unfair to judge. I find that they all feel that similar level of floaty. Like, there's not a sense of place. You know, you don't feel like you are inhabiting these things. And I don't know if that's just been that I haven't had the luck. I mean, Chris, what have you played in Dreams? Like, I've just listed a load of things I've played.
I mean, a lot of the stuff I started with was like the Super Mario 64, recreation, and
which is like, impressive, really amazing. They've done
Resident
that.
Evil one, like they've created things like the title screens and everything, and then the Metal Gear ones.
Have you seen the Star Wars one?
Yes,
I think you have, because I put it in the video. But someone's just, I don't know how long that goes for, but they just remade Star Wars, the game,
insane.
The film. It's they just made
that's
the
just
film.
Insane.
Like the crawl starts, and I'm like, well, this is going to get copyright strike. And then it cuts to a scene, and I'm like, that's the start of the first movie. And then it cuts to the interior, and it is the movie.
There are short films on here. There are paintings. Yeah. There's a painting of like a moving picture of Paris in the evening, where it's got like the Parisian streets, like a photograph, And it's got rain. You can turn the rain on and off that falls, like, so it makes it like, into a moving painting. And the
I think Kojima's like been on here, mate, because there's some, like, you know, like the high res Monster Energy drink, and like yeah. there's foods like there's a fry up on there, and you know, full yeah. English that's like so ultra high res. It's like, this must be Kojima's from Death Stranding 2 or something, you know?
Yeah, but no, like the thing is, there are some really cool little original games on there. Like I played a lot of the horror section. Because I'll get into my, like, I for release, I'm intending to at least have a level of the horror game that I'm making, which I'll go into in a minute. But like, I don't expect myself to play more than 5 minutes of any of these games. I'm going in and going, oh, that's cool. Unless it really grabs me, I'm not going to spend hours and hours playing one particular game. It just fascinates me, the process of it. And like, that's what
we are at the same place by the sounds of it then.
I want to create something and work on something and make it my own within this game because I like creating. And I think that's hopefully what a lot of people will get this for, not just to go and play all the games, but to play their own. And it is very cool that there's a lot of collaboration. Like, I could take that Super Mario game, download it, and put a big steaming shit on the map. I'm not gonna do that because I love Mario.
I might,
but like I could.
Now
I could
suggested.
I could add like zombies to that game. I could add whatever. I could put Crash in it and Spyro and fucking Gecko and Bubsy if I wanted. Like, I can literally do anything I want, and that's why this game is so fascinating for now. And I think when, because it's gonna be patched constantly, and it's going to keep improving.
Yeah,
it's
such
got
VR,
big...
isn't it?
I think I don't know.
It's definitely got move support.
But if it's going to be such a big game, then it'll work its way out. I don't think it's particularly bad. Like, the movement for the games I've played aren't. I haven't thought, oh, this is a bit weird, a bit floaty. Like, I'm quite satisfied with what I played, and I've played quite a lot of original games as well, and I haven't.
I suppose what I'm saying though is, do you like? Geometry Wars was the closest I got to being like, oh wow, this is actually a really good recreation of that game. And then I realised, oh, I don't think there's any more shapes coming. It's just the first two or three. It's like, ah, okay. That, it's not a limitation. It's obviously the person's decided to say, this is enough. I don't want to be like that prick that's like, yeah, to what end? But it is a bit like, we don't know what the single player even is. I don't think they've even said. We know it's going to have a single player. I don't think it'll be. It'll probably be similar to Little Big Planet, where it acts as a fun story, but also a. I mean, it could be amazing because you could jump from genre to genre. You know what I mean? Literally. I'm fascinated to see what people create, but I haven't yet seen the first kind of. This is my completed masterpiece yet. You know.
Yeah. No, I know, but like. The time it takes to build anything in that game is it's a laborious process, and this has been out less than a year, hasn't it? So
I don't remember when it was.
I think it's just under a year, or it's not been out long for the scale of it. So no. Like, I'm really excited to see more of it. I'm looking forward to getting into it properly. Like, I've had a notebook out trying to plan the game that I want to make, because I've been looking at the tools and I don't know whether I want to make like what kind of art style, whether I want to make it hyper realistic or not. You know,
can you make Dead Space 4 by any chance?
Someone's already redone it. There's multiple people making remakes of Dead Space.
All right, yeah. Dreams is game of the year anyway. That's it, confirmed.
My game will be game of the year. It's called The Caravan. That's all I want to say. Oh. And it's a horror game. Yeah,
sounds like it.
Good old Gary's living there. But yeah, yeah. There you go.
I was basically just going to be, I'm like Jack Baker.
No, but now that's an idea. So yeah, I might go with that.
There's people remaking cartoon versions of The Last of Us, you know, and I played one of those and it's like, yeah, this, like, I'm not going to I feel bad saying like, this is shit because I can't do it. I haven't got the patience in a million years. But there are some in there that you're like, yeah, I mean, fair play to you, but this isn't good. And there are some that are like, wow, this looks... There's one in the video that I did that's like, I don't know where the art's come from, but I've never seen it before. It looks original, and it's a beautiful-looking thing.
Sure, the thing is, it's inspiring creativity, and that's what's really good about this. And, like, kids will play this, and, like, games like Minecraft are so important in the conversations where ignorant parents or adults are like, well, fucking video games, they just sat in front of the PlayStation all day. And like, I get that. I'm not saying kids shouldn't go out and play. Like, absolutely, that's the most important thing. What I am saying is people are very judgmental about video games. But games like Minecraft show that there's mathematics involved, there's creativity involved, and like Dreams hopefully will do that similar thing. I mean, it's quite tricky for like young kids to play. I'm not like, but you, when you get to like 9, 10 and upwards, you can create stuff in this game, and there's satisfaction there, and the ability to create something that's yours, like, is forever a fascinating thing, whether that's in video games, music or art or whatever. I just think this is going to be something incredibly special.
I think it already is.
Oh yeah, but like as it goes on, like yeah, this to me is one of the best things I've played in a long time, just by what it entails and what it could be, and I'm really having a lot of fun playing and creating, and I'm willing to go all in on sitting down and working something out. Like I like it a lot. I think it's got a lot of promise, and when I get deeper and deeper into it, like all the nuances in the creation and the tools and all that, like, there's so much. And, like, I love it. I think it's great so far.
It will be super interesting when it's out, like, as a purchasable game, to see not only the creations, but also see how they curate it, because there's just straight-up copyright infringement in here. Like, it's not just that someone's made, like, a bad Mario game. They've, like, got all the original sound in there, because you can put it all in there. It's something, but yeah, I mean, we'll probably talk more about Dreams next week as well. I would think, imagine with the out officially. Yes. I think next week.
Adam Carroll. It's the 14th.
Yeah, it is. That's right, Valentine's Day, isn't it? Adam, what have you been playing?
Gary.
No, Adam.
Gary. Strap in, there, my man. Strap in.
Chris, put the kettle on.
All right. Let's get cracking. No. Look, I've been playing Blair Witch. I've got around to it. I'm always excited for any horror game at all. I just don't care. And this was kind of like one of those ones that when it got announced, I think every one of us were like, weird. Okay, Blair Witch. It's like, all right, that's been a long time. Like, back in the day with the movies. Like, the movie came out in like 1999. So, like, why are we getting a Blair Witch game now? That was the thing that came into my head. Look, let's start with the pros straight away, okay? The forest looks absolutely banging, I think. The forest looks amazing. I think, like, is it Bloober? Is that the name? Bloober team?
Yes.
Are the devs. Like, the atmosphere and stuff and the lighting, it's all cool. Now the cons.
Everything else.
Look, here's my thing. It's like, I don't know why Blair Witch has got so much mileage. I don't know why it's like, we can all understand the first movie. The second one, then you're all right. Look, let's try and get more money, I guess. And it was just.
We don't talk about the second film.
Yeah, Book of Shadows is all pissed. And then they bring back the reboot, if you want to call it, which I fucking despised. I just hated it. And then we get a video game, and I'm like, okay, all right, let's see what's going on here. My problem is, straight away, is that, no, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, especially if you've seen all the movies, but I just think the lore of Blair Witch is insanely thin. It's fucking bare bones. Like, what that movie did, what that first movie did was, it was perfect timing. It created serious tension for people, because we just didn't have, the internet wasn't what it was, and everyone was wondering, was it fucking real, or all these things were coming out. It was just a mad time for that movie to be released. But when you watch it, like, it is just a bunch of people doing a documentary on a myth, a legend to them. And they're trying to uncover it. And they go into a forest and shit goes crazy. And that's kind of really it. Like, there's a few little bits and pieces here and there. So to take this game after so long and then set it 2 years after the first movie, not really go with the movie like as such, or like it just doesn't seem to like tie in, because
as I said, the lore and the detail is just, it's so fucking thin. Like, Ellis is your protagonist, Ellis Lynch. I swear to God, I could not get on with him. I just didn't vibe with this character. I thought the acting was insanely average, like, from him, the voice actor, like, it just was really, like, cringy at times, and, like, when stuff happened, you didn't feel like there was fear from him. Do you know, the performance of fear was not there. It was just kind of like, look, Ellis, like, this thing just, like, leapt out in front of you and then just disappeared, and you're just totally fine with this, is it? Like, you don't get this, like, sense of, like, dread at all, like you would from something like Resi 7 and fucking Outlast and all these other ones that do this similar kind of thing. And then you got what I thought was going to be the best part of the fucking game, is the dog. What's the name? Bullet. Bullet is the dog's name, okay?
You're not about to get, you know, start giving shit to the good boy, are you?
This fucking dog is getting shit, right? This dog is not a good boy, right? That fucking dog.
How dare you?
I would be there with my torch and I'd be like, all right, what's going on, right? And then I'd be hearing Bullet somewhere that I cannot see. I'm like, where is this dog barking? Where is he fucking gone? And you're looking around for him and all of a sudden he'll disappear out of nowhere and he'll have nothing. And you're like, what were you causing all this commotion for? Do you not realise, Bullet, that there are crazy things in the forest, it's dark, we're on our own, why are you barking? Like, this kind of, and I know it's, you can set him off and do his thing, you can kind of go seek out stuff, but like, even that, like, those actions that you can give the dog, it became, I used to see way more of, I don't know if it was like, seek out, and you trigger that action, Bullet would just like, bark, and then he'd sniff the ground. And when he'd sniff the ground 5 or 6 times in, you always know that he hasn't found anything. And then he'll go, oh, you found nothing, boy. And you're just like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to go off, find info and, you know, or guide me, which he does. He does at times, like, he'll tear off and you're running along and you're kind of going, Jesus, am I just supposed to tear after the dog? Or am I missing out on collectibles or some sort of lore, because you can pick up photographs and cassette tapes, which play a huge part in it, because when you get a cassette tape, you watch it on your video camera and it kind of, you have to find the right kind of frame, I guess, to manipulate whatever puzzle in the real world that you're currently in.
Some of them work really well, so they're very intelligently done.
Some of them do, but for me, It's too far-fetched for the character situation. Like, I'm like, he's out there to find this boy, this missing boy, and there's all these, like, things like that that I'm like, I can't really accept this, because if I was him, like, let's get real for a second now, if I was him with a camera in the middle of a fucking forest doing that, and next to it, boom, a shovel just appeared right there in real life, how did that just happen? I don't really go for it. I don't fall for that kind of thing. it's a bit too, like, oh, alright. Like, the puzzle idea is cool, and I liked watching the footage, but it got monotonous and not that exciting. And the reason it doesn't stay exciting for me is just like the lack of scares. Like, I can't believe how, like, I just wasn't jumping. I mean, the forest itself, you get lost in it. And I have heard people say, I think Nicola actually may have said that she wasn't too gone on the kind of getting around the forest and stuff, because you do get lost and there are certain paths and you come back and you're like, I was here already, I'm sure. But I kind of enjoyed that aspect of it, because it just made it that little bit creepier being on your own in this forest.
That I thought was, like, the reason why I thought that was brilliant is because that replicated the Blair Witch. That
completely.
Was exactly what happened in the film, is the forest is fucking with you, or whatever is in that forest is fucking with you. So yeah. you think you're going north and suddenly you're coming across something that was way south of you, kind of thing. You know, it just messes with your head.
Yeah, yeah, and it's that's all really cool, but that's one of probably three elements personally that I could think of from the movie. Like, for me, the movie is the forest situation, I guess the cast, and the house. Like, they're the three things. But then, like, you're doing this kind of, you're moving around, and you're kind of going, all right, and there'd be long stretches of an area, and you'd be kind of going, something's going to happen. Something's going to jump out here and destroy me. And then nothing. Nothing would come about. Now, there is a couple of moments, but it's the same thing of when you, if you've ever seen the reboot, there's a moment in the, or the remake, whatever you want to call it, there's a moment where the fucking tent just shoots off into the fucking sky. And it's quite hilarious. It's just like, all right, look, a tent was used as a scare tactic for me as the viewer. In the game, there are moments, and I mean, like, this is one of the things, like, these moments shouldn't happen more than once, because once you see it, it's done. It's done in horror, and that's it. You can't keep repeating these things if it's a bundle of leaves spinning around the place. And, like, that is one of the things. It's like, just these loads of leaves spinning frantically, and you just have to avoid it. Like, I don't understand how that's supposed to scare me, because I know then you obviously use Bullet, and Bullet will just, out of nowhere, just take off, and you're supposed to run with him during the right timing of when the leaves and stuff are gone. But in a day and age of what horror can do, and it's such a missed opportunity on this game's part for not including VR in some way, shape or form, because the sound design is fantastic. Because they do tell you to wear headphones at the start of the game and stuff. Yeah. So the sound design is all there, the wind and all that jazz, and the creakiness of the forest. But, like, if you had that in VR with the headphones, it would just add way more of a scare for me.
Yeah, it's surprising. Actually. Whether it's just because it's a smaller studio and they don't know what they're doing VR-wise or something. That would be brilliant. Perfect,
because going off of Resi 7's success and just the lack of kind of VR love over the last few months, it's horror is prime for VR. It's been since day one.
PC VR has got shitloads of, like, horror experiences and demos and full games, and they're so well done. And it's just like, why is that not more of a
thing? Is that not brought into display? Like, and then the combat itself, which is basically like Alan Wake in a sense. You have your flashlight, you point it at the enemy, and the enemy goes poof, and you're like, okay, like it's definitely scary the first time round when you're like, oh, where are they? But once you figure out what you're actually supposed to do, it's like it's just okay. This moment, okay, bang, 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 gone, move on. And, like, I just get baffled throughout my journey of with Ellis Lynch when he's seeing all these things, and then he'll find, like, the scary kind of, like, weird twigs that are just hanging from the tree, and he'll just pick it off and break it. And you're like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do that, Ellis? Like, I just think the writing within all of Blair Witch isn't really that smart. It's very, as I said, very bare bones, and it doesn't have much to go off of. So it's a shame that the game couldn't have delivered this kind of, like, intense vibe. The puzzles, like you end up saying, too long. The puzzles, like, as you remember the whole train thing, and the tracks and changing the track layout and stuff, and, like, it's just not enjoyable, because all I want to do is be in a terrifying house and walk down the stairs into some room and seeing people facing a wall. Like, they're the moments I want to see, and I want to feel the fear from, and that's why if it wasn't VR, those things would have been insane. It's not that it's, like, appalling. It's not appalling, because I know you're a big fan and stuff, but I just feel like these games are done better. And if this didn't have Blair Witch tagged on it, I mean, what is it? Like, what is this game? Like, it does have a really cool opening. I do have to say, like, when he initially he arrives at the forest and the camera pans over and it has the logo of the fucking
Blair
Witch symbol, and it's like, that's strong. That's a strong start. And like getting in, like lost as well, is like in the forest, it delivers all that, but it just doesn't bring enough to the table at all. And some of the general dialogue as well, even though I want more lore and I want more stuff going on, the dialogue happens and it just goes on for too long. You'll be chatting to people and hearing people talk on radios and you're like, fucking hell, this has been going on for nearly 3-4 minutes at this stage. And I the choices are just baffling in this, especially this is the same dev team that did Layers of Fear. Yep. And I've only recently, like, it was only last year I played Layers of Fear, the first one, on Switch for the first time, and I actually really liked that game. I thought it was really good, and I really still need to play 2 and stuff. But yeah, I don't know, like, if you're a fan of Blair Witch, cool, you might find something in there. If you do, tell me, because I'd love to know more. But if you haven't played the likes of Outlast and Amnesia and Resi 7 and all these, like, you're better off spending your time doing something like that, because they'll definitely scare the life out of you. Like, Ed, I know you've played it as well, but you didn't go the whole way with it, did you?
It wasn't for me. Like, I'm not a big fan of this kind of game. Like,
yeah.
I think, like, Resi 7, I think if that wasn't called Resident Evil 7, I probably wouldn't have been interested, because it's not my kind of game. I don't really like first-person horror games. I think the two that I've loved have been that and Alien Isolation. I'm not a fan of the you mentioned Amnesia and Layers of Fear. I'm not a big fan of the kind of... Because to me,
the
they
intensity?
Are kind of... What, they're kind of... They're horror versions of walking simulators.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And the thing I like most about the Wonder game, as it were, is like What Remains of Edith Finch or the Firewatch story, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't, like, feel like I'm getting that. I think what often those games trade for is... And I know, because Chris, didn't you review... Oh, shit. There's another game where it was like... Was that you, Gaz? There was like another game... Was it an Amnesia game where you're in the forest and there's like a cult... I think that was Chris.
That's Outlast 2.
That's Outlast 2, yeah.
That's Outlast 2. Again, those games, what they sort of trade for me in terms of story that you get in, instead of the story you get from a Firewatch or an Edith Finch or, I'm completely spacing on the name, the game that's set in like the English countryside.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Mm. What you're not getting in terms of story, they kind of swap that for the tension release valve, you know, where they just ramp the fear up. And I never... I feel that takes away from the story because you're concentrating too much on how shit your pants you're going to be. But I just don't gel with those games. Like, again,
I don't gel with
like
Outlast, because
okay,
like the thing with me with that kind of game is I don't like just the aspect of all you do is run away, because I'm like, if this fucking I'm stuck in an asylum and these guys are chasing me, like, I'm not going to just fucking, like, if they corner me, I'm going to fight my way out. Mm. Yeah, you know, I'm going to do my best, but it's like, no, you're not allowed. You've got to hide. You've got to run.
With Resi
that
7,
kind of thing just always. Yeah, I mean, like.
But like, with Resi 7, there's rumours that Resi 8 is 2 years away. The rumour is it's first person again. There's a lot of rumours going about. There's no real point we go over them here, because like, they're just rumours. And I've heard otherwise. Let's put it that way. For me, the thing about Resi 7 is you do have all that tension. You do have the jump scares, but they were always there. And like you could compare, oh Christ, you said his name, the Baker Dad. You could compare him smashing through the wall, Jack. Yeah. Which, by the way, you don't even get. Some people don't even get. I think, Chris, you didn't even get that, did you? Where you smashed through the wall? Someone I know didn't get that.
I didn't first time.
You didn't, Gaz. It was Gaz.
I think if I remember right, when I originally played it, I didn't get it, and then I captured some footage.
That's right.
It's like, oh shit! I didn't even know that could happen.
That is even that version of a jump scare is a throwback to Resident Evil, where the dog jumps through the window. It's jump scares are what they are. You know, they're sometimes good, sometimes they're bad. But that game also has the thing of, well, this seems like all new characters, but it's called Resident Evil 7.
Mm. Yeah,
And I won't spoil the end of that game. no, there's no real need to, because you guys know how it ends.
Yep.
What I would say, I don't know if a Resident Evil 8 could get away with that again, because having gone back to 2 remake, where I know the story and the characters, and obviously when 3 comes out and I know the story and the characters, I'm not sure they could get away with having that, because you would know, oh, this is linked because of the ending of 7. Until right near the end. I don't know if they could get away with that again. I think other people are going to love it, but I don't think a Resident Evil 8 that follows that same trajectory of first person, I don't think it would work for me again.
It's a incredibly fair point to say that. I think with regarding 7, I think when I was playing Blair Witch as well, I actually said to myself, the first 10, 11 hours of Resi, where it's literally all of the house and stuff like that.
I mean, we've had that chat. I've said, you know, I know, Gaz, I think you gave it a 10, didn't you, 7?
Yeah, I loved it.
Resident Evil 7. I think until you get off the boat, I think that's the best Resident Evil there's ever been. I don't want to say they ruined it, because it's still a brilliant game, but I don't like the back third. Well, it's not even a back... The last act of that game, I don't like it. To the point where I can't actually remember much of it, but the house and the boat are the best I think Resident Evil's ever been.
I think personally, in the first person, and this was, as I said, was triggering from Blair Witch, was that the first person horror side of games, I think Resi's house bit is easily my favorite of all time.
Oh yeah, same.
I think it's absolute magic, which is why, like, if, say, as you said, Ed, like, if you don't know the link up as such when you're playing 7, like, if the opening few hours of Resi and that was actually Blair Witch would be like all over people's radar, like everyone would be talking about it, because that's what you need to step up and kind of,
but I think that plays into what you've said there, is that the very start of this chat about Blair Witch, you mentioned that, and even as someone who's only seen the first film, played a bit of this game, and that's the knowledge of my Blair Witch, the extent of my Blair Witch knowledge, even I could say, story-wise, the world of Blair Witch is pretty thin. And I don't think that's the game's fault, really, if you know what I mean.
There's just not a lot to it.
It's, again, a bit like Titanic, isn't it? Again, we mentioned it last week, Titanic Syndrome. You know what Blair Witch is. And yeah, that's what it is.
It doesn't need, like, it's not the game's fault, but it doesn't mean that the game doesn't have to, like, go further. Like, it should have. It should just deliver the terrifying side of things. And even if you don't like it, like, you don't play a horror game for fun. You play it to be terrified, to get the jump scares and all that stuff. And when that's not coming at me, I'm just like, okay, then, fine. Look, it's not bad, but like we've had a fair share of these kind of games now, and like even going playing Outlast 2, which I've only played recently, like even that alone, I was like, ah, fuck this, like, do you know, this is just
the form. I'm well fed up with games being played through a camera. Like that's another thing. I really don't want another horror game where I'm basically playing it through a infrared camera.
Yeah, it and that's the thing with Outlast 2, and then it's just throwing the whole, like, you're just running, as you said, Gaz, and stuff, and you don't know where you're going and what's happening, and this isn't the way the game should be designed. And that way, I don't know, they're very difficult games to make, because, as I said, you got Resi 7, you had the PT demo, and like Amnesia gets held up there a lot. Those kind of three, they're the juggernauts of these kind of style of games. So when you strap yourself in for something like this and it's not there, it's a bit of a disappointment. It might scare some people, but not me anyway.
Well,
yeah,
I should probably say something. Just sort of, I mean, this is going to get me back in the caravan, but I thought PT was shit.
Woo!
I didn't think it was scary. I thought it was 100% Kojima trying to be clever, and it didn't work.
I think it was scary, but I didn't finish it being like, oh my god, I need this now. I thought
PT was about delivering the fear and dread and everything. That the gameplay was just not it wasn't for that. It was for pure and utter terror. It gets, if you say you didn't get scared, you're made of fucking steel,
it,
my
it,
friend.
I like it had some good atmosphere, but like a lot of it, nothing really, nothing happened.
You can miss some of the scares in PT quite easily. Like there's a scene. Is it Lisa? What's her name?
Yeah, Lisa.
Lisa. There's a scene where I think a chandelier drops down by the front door, and you can miss it, but she's stood on the stairs looking down at you when that happens, and that is horrible, horrible.
I mean,
but you can miss that quite easily.
I do kind of realize, you know, it was just a concept. You know, it was.
Yeah.
This is for because we're making Silent Hills, which
teaser.
Yeah, we're never going to see Silent Hills.
Well, actually, rumors that is happening again.
I mean, there's rumors, but I'm wondering. I don't know if it would be Silent Hills or whether it will be just a new Silent Hill.
The rumors are that they're actually going to get Kojima in.
Going back to Konami?
Yeah, but not as an employee.
I don't know. Would he go back?
They could. Interesting. You think about it. There's been a lot of water under the bridge. The rumor I've read is that the sort of anger has cooled a lot, and
it would put me off it though. I'll be honest. I never liked Kojima being part of Silent Hill.
We can agree on that at least.
Yeah.
Let me quickly ask this, and I know Gaz, I probably know your answer straight away. But if it came out like fully confirmed, Silent Hills was happening, the same fucking crew, all was there, PT. It's happening. Full game. And Resi 8 was happening. Knowing well that it's first person and all these rumours that are going around of Resi 8, you can only have one.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say.
I don't.
however, like some of the rumours for 8 are just hilarious. I like the fact that it says
zombies
stuff about werewolves. I'm like,
zombies
what
with
the
swords?
Fuck?
That's the latest one, yeah, zombies.
Jesus,
yeah.
I've only seen the werewolves and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was like ghosts and werewolves. I'm like, ghosts, I could kind of, because there was the stuff in the demo of 7.
Just play Fatal Frame.
But, I don't
imagine
know.
Imagine if it came out and it was literally exactly like Resi 6 again.
Hey, I loved Resi 6.
Do you know what I'd actually want from Silent Hill? What, genuinely, what I want, like it isn't Silent Hills or PT the game. I want a remake of Silent Hill and Silent Hill 2 eventually, but I want them the way Resident Evil did it. I want that. Remember that GameCube remake? I want Silent Hill.
I had
that because they can't fuck up the story. No one can have a go at them for cocking up the story when the story is already there. They just have to make that game again.
Yeah,
I had this exact conversation the other night. It's hilarious to say that. I wouldn't be okay with Silent Hill 2 being remade simply because I played that again last year. It's my favourite game of all time. I just think everything is still perfect in it, and it just everything works so well. I don't need a remake.
However, I would definitely take a
Silent Hill
2. I'm with you on that. The first one, I think, could benefit from a not the reimagining thing like they did on the Wii. A proper just remake.
That was good.
It was good.
That was the last good Silent Hill game.
It was good. Nah, Downpour.
Which one?
Downpour was good.
Shattered Memories was.
Yeah,
Shattered Memories was brilliant.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, it's like that. It was good, but it wasn't really a remake of Silent Hill. You know, it was a reimagining. It changed things entirely. Whereas, I would like to see them do a proper remake of the first one. The second one. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I'd still try it, but I'd be like, but that original version of Silent Hill 2 is as close to perfect a horror game you're going to get.
Guess it is perfect. Let's agree on something
in the end. Let's do some listener correspondence. Let's do some correspondence. Christopher White, are you still with us? Fair enough.
Just teasing.
Okay, Chris,
you were just shitting on Outcast 2, and I really like that, and I just couldn't be arsed with the argument.
Okay, that's fine. Always makes good audio when someone's I can't be arsed. Chris, you've got to be arsed with this because I'm going to ask you directly. You can have a custom amiibo of any character from any series from any platform. What is the amiibo you have?
Knack.
What?
Knack.
Why?
No, not really. Earthworm Jim.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Love Earthworm Jim. I'd love him to come back on the Switch. I'd love to see Earthworm Jim again. I love that game so much.
Did that not come to Switch? No.
Nah. No, I want like a brand new Earthworm Jim.
Oh, right, yeah.
But like, done properly, not some cheap, shitty, like, Toe Jam and Earl fucking back in the groove.
You mean like a Sonic Mania style engine?
Yeah, why not? With the same kind of 16-bit visuals, but like Sonic Mania. Oh, that'd be good.
See, now I'm thinking about going, yeah, I would love to see that, and we know it's never going to happen.
Yeah,
well, there is a new Earthworm Jim in development for that in television console. But I don't know where that was. Like last summer, they were talking about it, and it's gone quiet. So, Gaz, what would your amiibo be?
I think mine'd have to be Harley Quinn.
I was just gonna say, it's Harley Quinn. Yeah.
If you're not allowed that, then it'd be Jill Valentine.
No, it's from any character from any series, and even tangentially, you know, she's in Injustice.
Yeah.
So, Adam.
Abe.
Great choice.
Abe.
No, I like that. That's a great choice. I'm going to go with myself. I'm a character from the Goddess Geek series.
Great choice.
I'm going to go for... It's probably a bit... I'm torn.
Death Stranding.
No, definitely not that. I'd quite like to get a Cuphead series where there's like Cuphead, Mugman, some of the bosses, like a full series where they did like the Zelda bosses or like they did Shovel Knight. I would kind of like a load of figures of all the Horizon Zero Dawn characters though.
Yeah.
You know?
Not like the Tataku ones, they weren't good.
Well,
I'd like the idea, but with better quality.
Exactly that. I wouldn't mind a Geralt one. And a Ciri one.
Yeah, a Witcher.
Yeah, but I think they'd have to be bigger. Do you know what I mean? I think they'd have to be taller. If they released a Geralt amiibo and it was the same height as Mario or Link, I feel like that would look really weird. It would either make them look really small or it would make Geralt look really small. I don't know. I think it would be weird. But yeah, I mean, I'm just... just any of them. It's fine. I'll just take them all. But yeah, amiibo. Chris, Mrs. Flanagan says, ask Chris how I describe the soundtrack to Patapon.
Right, so assuming everyone's heard the soundtrack to Patapon, when it gets really kind of crazy and there's a lot happening, it's kind of like the noise you hear when the kids are shouting and won't go to bed and are making a lot of noise and you're rocking in the corner. That music is just... That's what it was doing to us. That's all we thought. So yeah,
That's dark, but
our kids are well behaved. Like yeah. I'm talking back in the day when they just went shut the fuck up and they're babies and
I know that,
just hellish. You've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, absolutely. Mark Duncliffe, Chris, we'll stick with you at Duncliffe on Twitter. Mm. Have you ever played a game that makes you feel sick or unwell for whatever reason, content or gameplay? He says, I had it with The Witness, and now it's the same with Return of Obra Dinn. So it sounds like he's getting motion sickness from some games.
Yes. I don't think I have. I don't think I've got quite an iron stomach. I don't think there was something which once, but I can't even remember what it was. Cause it wasn't like, wasn't that bad. But no, VR doesn't really bother me. I'm all right.
For me, The Witness made my wife get motion sick from watching it. And I've heard a few people with that game.
Yeah, Nicola did as well.
Yeah, she did, yeah. And I think that they added a reticule in the end to make that, mitigate that a bit. The only time I've ever remembered it personally was in the very early days of VR. I was playing Dirt Rally, or a Dirt game, might be Dirt 2.0 in VR. And it was... raining and the mud was going everywhere, and I think I'd just been in there too long. Because there's a thing with VR that my advice to anyone who's like new to VR is, don't wait until you actually feel sick. Like, you will, if you've ever been motion sick, like in a car or on a ferry, there's a period where you're like, oh, I feel a bit funny. That's the moment you take it off. You just go, that's it, stop.
Yeah.
If you think no, I'll be all right, what you'll get is you won't throw up. Well, you might not, you probably won't throw up, but you will sit there afterwards feeling fucking rank, and it will take, it's like for every 5 minutes you push through, you'll probably get 30 to 60 minutes where you feel ill afterwards. Like the second you feel a bit like, I felt a bit funny then, stop instantly. And that'll eventually lessen. Gary, have you ever been made to feel sick for a game?
Yeah, when it was EDF 2017 on 360.
Yeah.
I just couldn't play that game. I think it was like a combination of the frame rate and like how colourful it was, just full on headaches. Like real, like almost migraine level. So it was just like, I just had to stop playing that game altogether, which is a shame because it was actually really good.
They're great fun. Yeah, they're great fun. Adam Carroll?
I would say, like Mark was saying Aberdeen there. I wouldn't say I got like sick from it, but there's definitely a feeling. I'm actually kind of, it's interesting that he says this game because whenever I have played it, my eyes are just always like, whoa, first, and it takes a few minutes. But the game that definitely got me was Drive Club VR. When I first ever played that, I was sitting down on a just fucking standard chair or whatever, and I had my elbows on both armrests, whatever, and I had the control in my hand and I was driving, and next minute I just kind of like, it was kind of such early days of the VR as well, but then I slammed into the wall and I actually genuinely think I passed out for like a split second because all I remember is bang, and then my head was just on the armrest. Like, so I feel like the actual collision with the car in VR, I just couldn't fucking come to terms with it. I was like, that was kind of just mental and messed up. And you, like, it's, I just find it so insane that it, like, things like that happen. Like, do you know when you are just playing VR and you're standing up and you come to like a set of stairs and you're just like, oh my God, it's so, so mental every time.
Mm. I've just realised there was one that made me feel a bit unwell. One specific scene from Dead Space 2 with the eye.
Huh. Oh yeah.
I didn't feel sick, and I wouldn't say I felt unwell, but I was like, this is possibly my limit. That was horrible. A thief breaks in, Gary, and he steals your most treasured games. To solve the crime, you can
recruit it sound like I was the thief.
Yeah, sorry. You're not. To solve the crime, you can recruit any fictional detective from any point in time. The question is who and why. I've recruited Taggart, by the way, so he's not available. That's not me, that's Thomas.
Batman, surely.
Why did I give you first choice?
I
could have gone first as the host and picked Batman.
Nobody can beat Batman. He's Batman. So, yeah. Sorry, but...
No, you're certainly tougher now. Chris?
I'm going with the OG. Sherlock.
Oh, I still could have gone second and gone Sherlock, couldn't I? Really? Why though?
It's just the man, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it's Sherlock. It's,
I don't need to explain, really.
No, you don't. You don't. That is fine. Yeah. Adam Carroll?
Yeah. Detective Benoit Blanc.
Ah.
You're going to have to tell me who that is.
That is the character in Knives Out, played by Daniel Craig.
Right. Okay.
If you
why?
See it,
yeah, he's good. He's good.
It's just great, and he's very entertaining, and I would be very pleased for him to be around in that character. If this was the situation, I'd be like, "Cool, you're going to make me laugh. That's all right." So, yeah, go with him.
That leaves me. Part of me wants to say Inspector Clouseau, just for the lols and the bants. Poirot? Miss Marple? No, do you know what? Archer. I'm going to go for Archer. Because at least he'd have some booze that would get me through the terrible ordeal. Oh, God. Right. This is the last question. And it's mandatory for all of us.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
not again. Not again.
As if Thomas didn't try and get us in trouble enough last week doing Scottish words and phrases, he wants us to say the following in an authentic Scouse accent. This is going to offend someone from Liverpool, okay?
Oh, I don't want that.
I'm going to ask, you know what? You did it so well last week with the Scottish, Gary. I'm going to ask you to say with a Scouser's accent, are you soft or what?
All right, I'll try.
The floor is yours.
Are you soft or what?
That's terrific. I was going to go higher. Like, are you soft or what?
I mean, we're pretty much just going to be doing the Scousers from Harry Enfield, aren't we?
Yeah, but I think I've got it wrong there. I think the T needs pronouncing. So I'm saying, are you soft or what? And I think it should be, are you soft or what? But I can't. It doesn't sound.
That
right
sounded
there.
Irish.
That's what I mean. It did sound Irish. We've discovered the difference between Liverpool.
That
and
was
Ireland.
Like the best Irish accent you've ever done.
Are you soft or what?
It's not, it is the best.
Sort of like,
I've got it. I've done it.
This has been an absolute sensation.
So Adam, all you have to do is say the phrase, but drop the T at the end.
Are you soft or what? Brilliant! An excellent in the Scouse accent.
It's not far off. It's not far off. Chris, your turn.
Are you soft or what?
Now can you add the T to the end as well?
Are you soft or what?
Oh, maybe it's just me then. I don't know what's going on there. Not bad. Chris, do you want to carry on? The phrase here now is, oh my, nice one, soft lad. We'll have to... I should have vetted these somehow before reading them on the podcast. Nice one, soft lad. We'll have to hide the gear from the busies now.
Like, what is...
Jesus Christ. All right, nice, I'll give it a go. Lad. Nice one, soft lad. We'll have to hide the gear from the busies now.
That's pretty good. I feel a little bit hard done by because, like, you and Gaz are both from up north.
Yeah, we.
I'm nowhere near
already
fucking Liverpool. I'm like, I'm nowhere near Liverpool.
You're nearer it than me, mate.
Yeah, but
I mean, I'm practically in the sea.
That doesn't mean anything.
There is, I think more me because, like.
Yeah.
There's a bit of like the Mancunian sound with the Liverpoolian accent.
Yeah.
Not massive, but there is a crossover.
Go on then, Gaz. Give us the. I'm not going to sing it.
Nice one, soft lad. We'll have to hide the gear from the busies now.
That's a good one.
It is, but I'm not sure why you dropped the D from lad. Soft lad.
I didn't
nice
realise
one,
I had.
Soft lad. We'll have to hide the gear from the busies now.
You sound like that fucking. Is it Harry Enfield? You do sound like the Harry Enfield sketch.
That really mate, did. That it's, sounded it's like the other one, not the Harry Enfield one. The other one, the
well,
the
he's
smaller
just you
one.
Fucking wait because he's just calmed down in the next one.
Lads, why don't you just calm down? Let's get you to the. What does that say, Ozzy? What the fuck's an Ozzy?
Oh, hospital. Right.
Yeah.
Lads, why don't you just calm down? Let's get you to the Ozzy to get checked out. Right,
what
Adam. Adam Carroll.
Ozzy? Is it Ozzy
hospital,
or Ozzy?
Hospital.
Ozzy.
Ozzy.
Adam Carroll. I need you to do both of those sentences, one after the other.
It's which one?
Both of them. You've not done either of those final two. Don't worry, by the way, listeners. We'll eventually get to your accent and insult you as well.
Oh, it's just so nice one, soft lad. We'll have to hide the gear from the bitches now.
Carry on.
Lads.
I mean, get the calm down
calm
and work
down,
back
calm
from
down.
There.
I'm going to be fucking murdered.
It's too late now, mate. You can still, there's no backing out. Let's just
come on.
We'll,
do
we'll
it.
All
just
do
pull
it.
The plaster off.
Adam goes for it. Chris, you follow. Gary, you finish it. We'll do the sentence one after the other. Go on, lads.
Which one are we doing?
The one you haven't done yet. Stop stalling.
Is it the last one?
Yeah.
I've done the...
Yeah.
No, you
lads! I keep going high and I don't know why.
It's natural.
It's when you go to start and you just get the L and that's it.
Lads! I can't get past lads!
You've got to get past lads.
What? Lads!
It's
fucking. I can't actually get past lads.
At this point, me and Chris aren't going to be able to do it because we're not going to be able to breathe.
I can't. I'm crying.
I can't do it.
Okay, go on.
I'll tell you what. I do it. Gary does it. Then Adam just goes into it. He just goes.
But
into
I can't.
It.
I can't for some reason
got,
get the fucking
two,
why.
You've got two chances to kind of just listen and get used to it,
lads. What?
Lads, Why don't you just calm down? Let's get you to the Aussie to get you checked out.
Nice. That's a good one. Lads, why don't you just calm down? Let's get to the Aussie and get checked out.
Nice action. Nice action. Can you do... I mean... Can you do it low? Lads, wait up. No, I went Scottish there.
Yeah.
What is this? You do
automatically go higher.
Lads,
I don't know.
Lads, just calm down.
Why don't you just calm down? Let's get you to the Aussie to get checked out.
Lads, why don't you just calm down now?
Lads, why not?
That's not bad. That's not
lads,
bad.
Why don't you just calm down?
Lads, what are you doing?
Oh, hey, lads.
Hey, boy, oh. Lads, why don't you just calm down now? Let's get you to the Aussie to get checked out now.
Checked out by.
That's the end of
the basically, we're not going to be allowed to go to Scotland. We're not going to be allowed to go to Liverpool. We're not going to be allowed to go to Wales. It's just, they won't let us in.
I think the next selection of these things, if they come through, should be done in Irish.
But Northern Irish. Love it. But Northern Irish.
That would fuck.
Oh, that should not be that hard for you, surely.
Yeah, listen, do my accent and that's that. It's hard enough, all right?
I can't do your... You can't do the accent of someone you're literally speaking to. That is so insulting.
I can. You said, are you soft or what? And it was the best Irish sounding thing you've ever done.
Are you soft or what?
And that's not even a fucking Irish phrase, so I don't know what's going on.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I can't do your voice because I don't know any Irish phrases.
See?
Well, there you go. Maybe Adam's got to come up with them for the next one.
You know what? Yes. Maybe you fuckers should do the soft southern, like, generic radio voice. And then we'll see. Eh? You try and say podcast and add a Y in there. Ain't that easy. You've got to be at least half drunk.
Podcast.
That's awful. I am not that posh. Podcast. I don't have a posh voice.
I don't know.
You do.
I do not. I mean, to be fair, anywhere
pretty much in the southern region sounds posh to someone from Manchester. So there's a little bit.
I definitely don't have a posh voice. I have a posh radio voice, but if you speak to me in person, I'm like, oh, yeah, fucking hell, mate. Put some batter on your fucking bread. Fucking hell. All the time, like, you know, that's my real voice. This is obviously my professional voice.
Basically, when you're not on a podcast, you sound like one of the fucking orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, the way we greet each other down south really is that someone just go, oi, oi, and I just go, can't. That's how we talk to one another. And on that note, Chris, Gary, Adam, thank you for joining us on this week's podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, but I'm a little upset that Adam never did that sentence.
I think we might have been here all night, mate.
It wasn't happening, Chris. Look.
Go on, just one more go. Go for it, please, go.
Lads! Fucking get the way!
That's enough.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous that I go up so high. I can't not go up high.
It's like doing, you know, you're just too good to be true. And then you've got I love you, baby. It's like starting that on. You're just too good to be true. Because you've got nowhere to go from there. You can't, you know, and Adam's starting, what?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, that's it. Follow us on Twitter @GodIsAGeek and we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.